And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Friday afternoon on the Closers. Jay Sparks here, sitting in the chair. George Young off on assignment, drinking mimosas on a beach. More than likely, it's a statistical possibility that he is out enjoying a mimosa somewhere. And that leaves me here in the chair with you guys today, getting us ready for a big, big Mizzou basketball weekend. We are, I think everybody is buzzing. I think everybody is ready. I've heard more people talking about where they're watching the game, who they're watching the games with, what's going on with the game, making sure they have the channel, all of those things. Everybody's excited about a big Mizzou weekend. It's exciting again. We did those 3 years. We all did them together. It wasn't super fun. We know that. But this is how it works. And the pendulum swings back the other way. Excuse me. The pendulum swings back the other way. And now we're ready. We're ready for a good time. And is tonight going to be a good time? I don't know. I mean, it certainly seems like it could be. Michael Porter Jr., healthy again. Back out on the court. Missing Jordan Barnett. It's going to be tight. It's going to be thin. This is a game of offense versus defense. The Mizzou is the defense there, in case you weren't really curious, or hadn't figured that out yet. But it's exciting again. It's interesting and exciting, and that's what you. I mean, we've talked to Gabe DeArmond a bunch this season. He's like, I hope people read the stuff this year. I'm pretty sure over the last 3 years they didn't care to read the basketball write ups and the wrap ups and the thoughts. And that's why you do it. That's why it's important. That's why it's fun. So 442-8255. I'm here. I'm ready for this. I'm ready for all of you guys out there. I'm ready for bracket busting, because that's a thing that's happening. It's definitely a thing that's happening. If your bracket had Arizona going anywhere, and I saw quite a few. I saw quite a few brackets with Arizona somewhere there in the middle of the page. If that was you, well, sorry about your luck. Last night's scores, since we've left you, we saw the Loyola upset, the Ohio State finish it out, and Seton Hall finish it out while we were on the show yesterday. Your late night winners last night: Villanova over Radford, Kentucky over Davidson, Houston over San Diego State, Texas Tech over Stephen F. Austin, Alabama as a 9 seed over Virginia Tech. There's your Buffalo beating Arizona. And how? Good night by 21 points. 13 seed takes out a 4 seed. Florida dismantles the Bonnies after their Tuesday night adventure. And Michigan survives an early scare from the Grizz of Montana, but not enough. And then today so far, A&M defeats Providence. They did not look good to start. Ooh, did they not look good? Purdue wins. However, they suffer a major injury to Haas. So if you have Purdue going a long way, while they did win, and you will get points off the next round and maybe the next round, their tournament chances, their elite level chances, really took a hit. Another four seed deciding to go home early. Wichita State losing to number 13 Marshall, the Herd. So if you had Wichita State do anything as a four, sorry about your luck. Cincinnati takes care of Georgia State. Georgia State is one of those lovable. The coach is great. The team is great. And, you know, I'm glad they comported themselves well today. But the Bearcats too much this time for a 15 seed Georgia State team. UNC handles Lipscomb and Arkansas. Uh-oh. Arkansas is staring 10-point deficit to Butler right now with about 4 minutes. They're coming up on the last media timeout, and they are down 10. Be the first SEC team to lose. Every other SEC team so far has won. Arkansas, as a 7 seed, maybe the first one to lose. West Virginia right now, up 2 or 3 possessions, about 9 points on Murray State, the Racers, and Nevada and Texas. Texas, the 10 seed. Mo Bamba is healthy and playing, and he is. They are up on the Nevada Wolfpack right now, the UNR Wolfpack. Other games tonight to watch. Virginia, obviously. Xavier, obviously. Two number ones going tonight. Creighton and Kansas State, and Auburn faces Charleston, other SEC matchup tonight. So Arkansas losing right now by 12 now under the media timeout. So Arkansas not looking good for them. They might be the first SEC loss. We got 4 seed Auburn and 8 seed Missouri tonight to round out the SEC. Boy, if you only take one loss in the first round for the SEC, that would be great. That would be really, really good. A lot of ACC action tonight as Syracuse, Clemson, and Florida State and Virginia all going tonight. So a lot of ACC teams all packed up on a Friday night. It's this Mizzou game, though, that we're focusing on. We're going to focus on that for the majority of the day today. Let me get you caught up with what's going on for the show today. When we take our next break, I'm going to come back, and George Young and I had a chance to sit down with an author, a very cool author of a very cool book that was interesting to read, Dr. Scott Pierzynski. And the book is called The Sky Below. And Scott is a really interesting man who was very fun to talk to, very interesting to talk to. I believe it might have changed since, but at the time of the publication of the book, and I believe at least at the time that we conducted the interview, the only man to have been in outer space, orbit the Earth in outer space, and reach the summit of Mount Everest. Only man to have done both. So that's quite an interesting thing. So we're going to play a little book interview from him here in the first hour. We're going to come back and we're going to get you all set up. We're going to talk a lot of Mizzou, go through the matchups, talk a little bit about Florida State and what's going on with that. In the second hour, we will do obviously more. We will have George and I's trifectas. We will have that. He has submitted them. He took time away from the Mimosa Bar to text in his trifecta picks. So that is very important. I was glad to get his attention, you know, away from the cabana long enough to get the trifecta picks from him. And also Ann Rogers from the Missourian and Power Mizzou is going to join us. She is going to get us all set up for the Mizzou women's game, 2:30 tomorrow. And we're going to get all set up for that. They are taking on Florida Gulf Coast University. And then should they win, they will take on Stanford, more than likely, in the Stanford sub-regional there. And then their pod out there. So lots of stuff going on today. Want to go ahead and go around and check in on some things. Mo Lewis stopped by yesterday. And man, love Mo Lewis. And I love talking Blues. And man, oh man, has it just, the thread has escaped this St. Louis Blues season. Last night was a chance to tighten the race, to pull the Blues within the other wildcard teams, and to really narrow the gap on the Avalanche, who are the last place playoff team at the moment. and they needed a regulation win. They could have handled the overtime, both get a point and then take the win. That would have been okay, but they really needed 2 points out of the game. And that just didn't happen. Colorado Avalanche came out and in the first period scored 2 goals and never really allowed the Blues enough breathing room to get going. And this Carter Hutton injury, neck injury, I believe, boy, just could not have happened at a worse time if that's the case. Jake Allen is, and don't get me wrong, it's not just Jake Allen. It is the defense. It is the amount of shots. It's the possession. There's all kinds of things going on here. I mean, it's a team game, and I'm not putting it all on Jake Allen's shoulders. But the Carter Hutton injury and everything else, I'm not sure that the team has the confidence. They don't play with the confidence. When the first goal goes in, that team plays like they have to score 3. And that is not a way. When you are tightened up, when you've got a 0 on the scoreboard and you feel like you have to put a 3 up to have a chance to win. Man. So it was a good game to watch. I mean, in as far as hockey goes, but man, it was just the Blues just could not catch a break. And that Avalanche team, you know, while they had a horrible record against the Blues so far this year, boy, did they work out some of those, exercise some of those demons for sure. Also remiss to go this direction also, but we were giving updates during the game or during the show yesterday, and Columbia College men's team, 6th ranked 2 seed, they too go to the first round defeat in the NAIA D1 tourney. So 75-66 loss to Campbellsville, Kentucky. Big shout-outs to the boys and the girls team, the men's and ladies team over there at Columbia College for a great season, and just how hard it is when you get to that national level, how much the playing field changes. And this was a Columbia College team that scrapped and fought and had close games and just really, you know, they had to make themselves work the whole time. And boy, oh boy, was that, you know, and it was just tough to watch that one kind of squander away at the end as Campbellsville went up about 5 or 6 points with a few minutes to go, about 4 or 5 minutes to go. And Columbia College just couldn't reel them back in. So, it's tough. It is very, very tough. And you know, it's just the nature of it. Now, Diamond Sports, the Mizzou baseball team, ranked number 24 in the Collegiate Baseball Newspaper. So they have got some numbers next to their name now. So off to a good start this year. And 14-3 record, 9-game winning streak right now. But the SEC says, hey, welcome to conference play. Here's the World Series runners-up from last year, the LSU Tigers, and they're ranked number 16 in the country. So here's your see your 9-game winning streak, and we raise you an LSU Tiger team. So if that will be down in Baton Rouge. That's Mo Lewis talked about it yesterday, but that is a hollow ground. I mean, if you're talking football, you talk about the Horseshoe or the Rose Bowl. Places to play that are just hallowed ground for college football, for basketball. You think of Fog Allen Fieldhouse, ugh. But it's true. Duke's old arena, you know, Cameron, and you think of some of these places that are just hallowed grounds with which to play. Madison Square Garden at some point, pro and college basketball. The LSU Tigers, their home stadium down in Baton Rouge, is one of those places for college baseball. So this team is, you know, listen, this team has every reason to get down there and knock it out of the park. See what I did there? But they have every reason to go take care of that down there and steal a couple. So it's going to be a good litmus test early in the season for Mizzou baseball. But number 24, Mizzou baseball, at number 16, LSU. The softball team, after a very poor performance in St. Charles over with Illinois, they come home and they host Mississippi State. So Klanga. So if you're driving down stadium and you hear a bunch of cowbells, it's probably just the traveling softball crew for Mississippi State going to be over there with their cowbells in tow. So we got a lot to do today. We got a lot to cover. Tons of Mizzou talk. 442-8255. Obviously, I will talk to any and all of y'all out there because I like to be distracted, especially on Fridays. Fridays is a good time to be distracted and talk about whatever. Whatever's got you bugged, or your brackets, or anything else, and we'll get to a ton of Mizzou talk. But next, it's Dr. Scott Perzinski, and it is The Sky Below. So George and I were able to sit down and talk with him, and like I said, it just a really great, fun guy to talk to. So we'll get out of here, and we'll check in and a little book interview. A little highbrow on a Friday before we get back into the meat of previewing Mizzou basketball. So we will be right back right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young, and we do sports and we do other stuff. And this time around with this particular interview, we have an option to call both into play. The author is Dr. Scott Perzinski. The book is The Sky Below, and it is just an incredible travel log. Scott, is it? Do you mind Scott or is it Dr. Perzinski? Because I know I've got...
Oh, please call me Scott.
Okay, because I have...
Just Scott, yeah.
I have family members who are physicians, too, and they work long and hard to get that degree, so... for you, why the book? I know that's the million-dollar question you're asked every interview, but why write the book?
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks you so much for having me on your show. The reason I wrote The Sky Below was essentially to acknowledge all the amazing people that had helped shape and enable the wonderful experiences in my life. I've been very fortunate to support the space program. I served for 17 years, and I've also done other types of expeditions, including to the top of Mount Everest and some other extraordinary places, but I couldn't have done it alone, and so I wanted to thank people, but also give somewhat of an insider's view to these extraordinary life experiences and share with people that you have to be willing to work through failure to achieve success. It's not just all about the attaining the summit. It's being able to pick yourself up and keep moving forward.
Well, not many
hopefully it's an inspiration to folks who read the book.
It is an interesting read, and the pictures are spectacular as well, but you've not very had many opportunities where you can fail and you can bounce back. Spacewalks are one of those, climbing Mount Everest is another one, and coaching and teaching luge as an ER physician or the space launch, which was the most exhilaratingly frightening moment for you?
Well, I guess the defining moment in my life was in 2007 when I was tasked with helping complete a repair of a live solar panel outside the International Space Station. And it was really an Apollo 13 moment where the entire space agency had come together to develop a repair capability that had never been planned before, never trained, tools had never been built to do such a crazy thing, to work on a live solar panel. And obviously, I'm talking to you now, so we were successful, but it was very, very difficult. It wasn't like we could run down to Home Depot and get a solar repair kit. We had to build the repair tools up in space real time with guidance from mission control, and do tasks that had never been dreamt of before. And so, that life experience working with a team, doing audacious work up in space is definitely my best day on the job ever.
Scott, how did the experiences that you gained through NASA, through all of the astronaut training, you know, as you progressed back to real life, when did you find yourself most thinking about that kind of training as you re-entered into regular society and the everyday kind of mundane things we do in everyday life?
Well, it's an interesting question. And, you know, quite honestly, as astronauts, we spend more time on the ground than we do in space. You know, during my 17-year career, I spent about 2 months total during my space shuttle missions in space. So, you know, most of my life was supporting others, other crews getting ready for their missions, developing new tools and procedures to do that exciting work. So, you know, I think you know, being an astronaut is a life of service, not only to the country, but also to the NASA mission. And so when I transitioned into, you know, civilian life again, that's sort of pervasive in my career now as well. I'm trying to develop technologies that will benefit society. I have a company that is developing robotic systems that have some of their pedigree actually in the space program. And ultimately, you know, our drone flight controls will enable surgeons in the United States, maybe there at WashU in St. Louis, to operate on patients in sub-Saharan Africa or in rural Nepal. And so, you know, I think the same kind of mindset that I had as an NASA astronaut is still with me today. And also, you know, I still am very active as an explorer. I continue to do expeditions to remote parts of the world, and I love to develop technologies to make that safer for people.
Dr. Scott Perezinski with us here on The Closers. The book is called The Sky Below. It is available now. You can go to Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, especially right here in Columbia. You can check out Barnes & Noble and such. But out of all of this, you know, most people probably recognize you most recently as being the personal physician for John Glenn when he went up on the shuttle launch. What was that like, not only having to be the astronaut, not only having to be part of that mission, but also understanding that the whole world is watching what you're doing with John Glenn?
Yeah, it was certainly an exciting but also you know, daunting assignment because, you know, if something happened to my boyhood hero, that America's hero, John Glenn, I might as well not come back home, you know. So fortunately, at age 77, he was an incredibly fit, sharp as a tack astronaut, and we had additional tools on board to you know, take care of any contingency that might have occurred, but it definitely was an added degree of you know, trepidation as an astronaut, being personally accountable to making sure he had a great flight.
Well, this book definitely pressed a lot of my buttons. Into Thin Air by John Krakauer, The Martian, very popular books that are out there. This book definitely pushed a lot of those buttons, but from a very nonfiction point of view, because you were there for all of it. With the Everest trip, you know, as you're in thin altitude and you're far from sea level, but still on Earth, you know, at what point does that adventure kind of the need and knack for adventuring kind of go away and it just becomes you get to that survival point?
Well, you know, you have to take a very you know, kind of cold clinical look at these environments. You know, there is the excitement and adventure of it, and you know, you do take moments to just take in the view and realize, my gosh, you know, I'm standing on top of the world, or you know, I'm floating out here in the vacuum of space, looking down at the Great Barrier Reef. There are those moments of just incredible appreciation for your good fortune, but you have to take it very, very seriously. And I consider myself a risk manager as opposed to a risk taker. I really work hard to train myself and prepare for contingencies and think through emergencies that might happen. Because, you know, if you don't take it really, really seriously, obviously bad things can happen. So with that kind of mindset, I felt as though I was going to these extreme environments with as much safety as humanly possible.
Dr. Scott Parazynski with us here on The Closers. The book is The Sky Below. And as we wrap this up, Doctor, we just had the eclipse here not too terribly long ago, total eclipse. For you, was there a moment, whether it was luge, Everest, shuttle, any of the things that you have done, where you just realized that moment when you're just a tiny little cog in this huge thing?
Oh, absolutely, especially the profound, human experience of being outside on a spacewalk. When you can look just through your thin visor out at the enormity of the universe, basically to the beginning of time, you feel completely insignificant in universal space and time. But there's also a great sense of appreciation that you have, realizing that you live on this beautiful blue planet beneath you. What a incredible gem it is, and it's sort of an out of body experience when you get to have that global perspective.
Dr. Scott Parazynski, the book is called The Sky Below. You can check it out at Amazon.com and purchase it as well. It is a tremendous book. It's a first-person account of a lot of life adventures for Dr. Parazynski. Scott, thank you very much for the time, and I really do appreciate it. It's a wonderful read. The pictures are fantastic, and good luck with your endeavors. And what's the name of your company, by the way?
It's called Fluidity Technologies. Okay. Is the name of the company, And also, I just wanted to express my appreciation. Great to be on your show with you guys.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time as well. Good luck with the sales of the book, and good luck with all of your endeavors. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. Dr. Scott Parazynski, the book, The Sky Below. Again, Amazon.com. It's a tremendous read, as I mentioned a couple different times. The pictures are absolutely fabulous. We've got more of The Closers, and we will return to kind of the sports part of things, and we'll do that right after this.
It's The Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
In honor of George Young being somewhere near a cabana drinking mimosas somewhere, little island rhythm for you today as you enjoy a Friday, tourney Friday here in March. Tomorrow is some sort of holiday-ish thing going on. I'm not quite sure. I kind of block it out because of my other position in life and the other my other term of employment that I have. We don't really talk a lot about the holiday-ish thing that's going on this weekend. But for our purposes here, it is a sports holiday. And, listen, everybody, you always root for your conference. it's always nice to root for your conference to do well because it makes your team look like it did well. When your conference does well, it makes your conference tougher, makes the level, makes each win that your team has more valuable. In this particular case, see ya, Arkansas. Suitcase Mike only needed a backpack, man. He didn't even need a suitcase. Didn't even need an overnight bag. One and done. The Arkansas Razorbacks lose by 17 points to the Butler Bulldogs in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So the SEC has suffered their first loss in the tournament. And West Virginia, about 17 minutes left in the second half. They're up 9. And Texas starting to lengthen it out a little bit on the Nevada Wolfpack. They're under 16 over there, and they're up 11 right now. So Texas putting it on Nevada at the moment. Obviously, everybody getting ready for later tonight. Tonight is the big deal, and you can't really talk about this game without talking about. Well, there's a bunch of things you can't really talk about, but let's get into a couple things. One, Michael Porter Jr. He is the great unknown. He is the loot crate. He is the scratcher lotto ticket. You don't know what you're holding yet. And that's just the nature of it. You know there is a level of potential. Agreed upon level of potential, national pundits, rivals, 24/7. He was number one in the country in one, number two in the country in the other recruit. And you know he's going to be on the floor tonight. And if you assume he's had a week of cardio and a week of getting his legs back under him since the Georgia game, you can assume that minus foul trouble, he is going to play extended minutes. Michael Porter Jr., you still don't know. You still do not know what you're holding. Jordan Barnett, you know what you're holding. You're holding zero tonight and probably a motivated return on Sunday if that is a possibility. But you know that's a zero tonight. You also know that this is the shortest bench we've seen in a long time. This is going to be a six-man rotation. Cassius, Jordan Geist, Kevin Poirier, Jonte, Jeremiah, and Mike. That's it. That's all you got tonight. Now you have Reed Nicko, you have Brett Rao, and they will see minutes tonight. They will see a few minutes tonight. I mean, it's just a statistical necessity. They will probably see minutes. Assuming there is not a huge amount of foul trouble, I would assume you see some minutes from them late in the first half. And at about the 12-minute mark of the second half. If you're going to see them, that's probably the time you see them outside of foul trouble. Because that's when your guys need a blow. And that's when you can take the chance of letting off for just a minute to get your guys a rest for a few minutes. Cycle some guys through and get them to sit. But you got six guys tonight eating up a majority of 200 minutes. Six guys, 200 minutes. And if you think, who's going to be the guy? Are you the guy? After this season and everything that's gone on, are you the guy that walks up to Coach Konzo Martin and says, Coach, I can't do it, man. I'm too tired. We'll get to some wrestling talk. And we kind of joked with Coach Brian Smith earlier in the season about this Mizzou wrestling team and his new assistant coach this year, Jaden Cox. Who was going to be the first wrestler on the team to tell Jaden Cox, I can't do it. Coach, I can't do this. Whatever it is that's in front of me right now, I can't do it. You think anybody's going to say that to Jaden Cox? You think one of these guys is going to walk up to Konzo Martin and say, Coach, I can't go? I don't think so. I don't think that's the way it works. I think this team has more backbone than that. I think this team cares more than that. I just don't understand where that sentiment would come from any of these six guys. Two fouls, three fouls in the first half. Coach, I got it. I'll figure it out. We'll go from here. I got it. Three fouls, four fouls in the second half. Coach, I got it. I can do this. We'll figure it out. I got it. That's what this team's done all year. This team's been whistled for fouls all year. Players transfer, minutes come, minutes go, Title IX investigations, injuries. I think this team has created a backbone for itself. Slowly, it's taken all season, but they have found a backbone. They have found the fortitude to keep going. And I want that for them. I want that. I want to see these six guys standing out there, the under four timeout in the second half, hands on their shorts, looking at coach saying, "Coach, we got this." That's what this team is. That's what this team is tonight. We're going to step aside. We'll be right back right after this.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU. The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Just enough time to welcome you back. And then we'll turn you around and get you right back out and get you ready for hour number two. We will really dive deep into Mizzou basketball, men's and women's, as we get ready for a big, big weekend. First weekend since 2001 to include both men's and women's tourney appearances. So that's a good thing. Mizzou wrestling, I mentioned it kind of in passing, talking about assistant coach Jaden Cox and the basketball team telling Konzo they can't do something, much like we talked about someone saying that to Jaden Cox. But after three sessions, six wrestlers still alive. And right now, Jaden Ironman and Daniel Lewis are still in and undefeated at the national wrestlers in their weights. So they are in the semifinals, guaranteed All-American finishes. So that's at the 41 and the 74 pound. So they are ready to go. On the backside, Ernesti, Lavalli, and then Leith and Miklas are all in the consolation side, but they are all still alive for possible podium finishes. So good job, but maybe not necessarily where Mizzou wanted to be, what they thought they had coming in, but they move into and steadily sit in sixth place with 41 points. So they are behind NC State at four with 44 points, so they're 3 points behind that. So just, you know, listen, as you know, this is a team that kind of demands respect and demands that we talk about it a little bit just for the continued and durable success that they've had. So there is another session this evening and it'll be broadcast on ESPN. So there will be plenty of ways to catch up with that. We will be back for more basketball Mizzou talk in hour number two right after this.